Lee Brown here, you're on crazy shit in real estate where sometimes you learn about dead people in open houses, and sometimes you hear about porn shoots in vacant properties, and sometimes you learn about investment strategies. Today, I have Isabel Guarino-Smith, and she's talking about an old people investment strategy, which is really interesting and fairly delightful. So I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. I'll see you on the other side.
You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
Before you get the rest of the story, I'd love to share a quick message from today's sponsor. If you've never heard of Follow Up Boss, you're going to love it. It's going to get you organized in a way that will actually impact your business for profitability and for better excellence with those you're serving. For more information, go to followupboss.com/crazy. And so I guess today we're going to talk about some old people stuff. That's my personal favorite client base is my older clients, because frankly, their kids and grandkids don't take enough good care of them.
There
and
you
so
go.
We have to step in and fill the gap. So why don't you tell my audience who you are, what you do in and around the real estate space, and give them a little bit of insights to Isabel.
Yeah. So I'm Isabel Guarino-Smith, and I teach and train on residential assisted living. I currently own and operate my own 3 care homes. They were passed to me from my father when he passed away last October. But really, when that happened, you know, I had been teaching and training people with him, but I wasn't too involved in the homes yet. And then when he passed, he left that for me. And it was like, I've got to take this from here. You know, I've got to move forward with it. I've got to continue this on. And it's been a lot of fun, you know, being able to help other families create that legacy and that cash flow. And I really, really love what we do, because just like you said, we can make a major impact. Cash flow is great, but making an impact is way cooler to me. And so I really love that opportunity and availability in our industry.
Now, how did your dad get into this space? Was he taking care of his parents, or just by accident or design? I'm so interested because it's not a space most people go into because they just automatically assume it's too many headaches.
Right. So his mom fell, broke her hip. Doctor called, like, she needs 24/7 care. And at that point, it's like, okay, you're going to quit your job, take care of her full time, right? Are you going to give her in-home care, which is incredibly expensive?
If you can find anybody.
If you can find anybody, and it's expensive, you know, or do you put her into a home? And so she was living in upstate New York. We were in Arizona. He went there, you know, searched for everything and was just like disgusted by the options. He's like, this isn't okay. There's got to be something more. We went back to Arizona thinking, a lot of old people live here. There's got to be something more, right? So we kind of stumbled into residential assisted living. He found one of those, and then he was chatting with the owner and realized, you know, he'd been a real estate investor for 40 years. And he's like, I'm going to be paying $5,000 a month for my mom to live here, or I could own the home. She could live for free and I could be cash flowing $10,000 a month. So he immediately pulled the business owner aside and is like, yeah, I want my mom to live here, but can I buy your business? And she was like, yeah. And he purchased the real estate, purchased the business, and we got in with zero experience, literally for my grandmother to just have a better option. And my dad just thinking, I can do this. Like, what's so hard about this? So there was a big learning curve over those first couple of years.
I mean, all I can think is the state health department and the Department of Aging. And how do you learn how to navigate the governmental and regulatory side? Because I would think that's far worse than just trying to interview families and move somebody in. That would be the easy part, is filling up your rooms, and staffing is hard. But how do you manage bureaucrats?
So because that first home, it was already licensed, it was already set to go. So when we purchased it, we were purchasing the business and the real estate. And so it was already kind of done. It's just a transfer of the license.
Okay.
But certain states have really clear rules and regulations on getting those homes up and running, Arizona being one of them that's very, very clear and clean cut. But we have students in all 50 states, and we've seen all sorts of ranges of issues, right? From our student in Rhode Island, who literally after class went home, called her local government and was like, I'm going to do one of these homes. And they're like, no. And she's like, what? Like, they told me I can't. And so we called the state with her and basically walked them through it. And they said, it's not no, it's we don't know. None of these exist here. So we helped them create based on the rules of other states, basically said, what fits your need? Because the silver tsunami is coming. We're 1.3 million beds short for assisted living right now. And so most of these states, if they don't have heavy rules and regs on it, or they don't know what's going on, they're actually happy because you're a solution to a big issue that they're going to have. You know, there's not enough beds. And what are we going to do with all these seniors? So we need more opportunity. And this is a much, in my opinion, better opportunity than a big box facility, right? A Brookdale, a Sunrise, an Atrium. You're not getting quality care. You're paying an arm and a leg, and it feels like a hospital. It doesn't feel like a home. This is a home, you know, not home-like. So we helped them walk through it. So we've seen the whole gambit from states who have their systems down pat, and it's a recipe. You follow the rules, you get it done. To states who have nothing, and we've helped them walk through, let's create some rules and regs that you feel comfortable with that are easy enough for us to follow so everyone can be safe and confident and comfortable moving forward.
Well, I'm just thinking like Florida, Arizona, Texas, any of those warm weather climates that do attract a lot of retirees and older population, I would think they're probably more systematized than some other states. Yeah. Would that be an accurate guess?
That is correct.
Yes. Okay, so then I'll ask a kind of a prickly question, because that's my job here. How have your operators responded post-COVID after some of the governors, and we won't have to call them by name, but Cuomo and Whitmer and Wolf being three of them,
yep,
who devastated our elderly population who were trapped in homes because of their deadly policies, which means me and North Carolina didn't have that policy, even though, you know, we had our own set of issues. But after watching what happened to some really helpless older people in those states, I'm like, hell no. My mom and daddy are never going to a facility. So my basement's all ready to go. And the minute they break and come into my house, then I'm going to take care of my mom and dad. And a lot of people have a lot of concerns now. So what's been the conversation in your space? I mean, are your operators figuring out how to fight the government and better protect their old people? Or is there a different conversation with families now who probably are asking different, I hope they're asking different questions, because the fact that we locked our old people up behind plexiglass for 2 years, a lot of people should have to answer to the Lord for that on Judgment Day. But anyway, tell me what you've seen in your side of the space.
Yeah. So 100%, I couldn't agree more. It was absolutely wrong and cruel what they were doing, mostly in big box facilities. It did not affect our homes. Actually, for the first time ever, we saw waiting lists, because
your people were able to fight the government and say, we're not going to do your little policies.
We don't have to abide by that. That was only for big boxes. It wasn't for us.
Wow.
For
okay.
Us,
good to know.
Yeah, we had visitors the whole time. I mean, we were keeping things safe, you know, but we had visitors. We let people come and go just as they wanted to. Hello, these are their last years of life. They need to be outside in sunshine. They need to be seeing their family members. Guess what? A baby, when you leave it untouched, literally dies. We need touch. We need interaction. It's not safe, happy, or healthy to leave a senior in their last years of life, not seeing their family, feeling abandoned and alone, you know, locked up in a house. Absolutely not. They need sunshine. They need family. They need warmth. And what's shocking is we also own the REL National Association. So there's 30,000 of these care homes across the country. And we created the only association that represents the smaller guys, right? There's plenty of associations for the big boys, but none for us. And so we created that. We've got lawyers on the team who can help fight rules like that, to if they were to have said, you also have to do this that we're making them do, we would have, you know, had our teams try to fight as best we can. But we thankfully didn't have to deal with that. If anything, we saw adult children ripping their loved ones out of those big boxes, begging to come into our homes.
I would have broken in and stolen my people. But I just remind y'all, I know that some of you have forgotten some of the egregious behavior at the beginning of COVID. Do not ever forget how our old people were treated and vote accordingly. So I'm just going to toss that in there. So let's talk about your independent owner. So what kind of owner is drawn to this opportunity? Does it really cash flow? Is it a smart financial investment? And how does it work? Do you I mean, just give us some nuts and bolts, because obviously people can, you'll give them all the contact information for the real details later, but just top line, why would somebody who maybe they're sick of the stock market's volatility, they're thinking of somewhere to put their money in, why would you go into this, and can they do this and still work their regular full-time job, or is this a full-time job slash investment?
Yeah. So the type of people we typically see who want to get into this industry is real estate investors, entrepreneurs, and then medical professionals. There's a lot of people who are doctors, nurses. We've had dentists, chiropractors, all sorts of people who are saying, I don't love the hospital system and I don't love working with insurance and all this stuff. And so they're like, hey, I do want to help people. I want an opportunity to help people, but I still want to make money, you know? So we see all sorts of people from all different walks of life coming to get into this, but basic numbers, you can have usually anywhere from 6 to 16 residents in a home, depending on your state and your county's rules and regs, but it always falls somewhere between 6 and 16. Most of the seniors want private bedrooms, private bathrooms. So these are large. Yep. These are large upscale homes. They're beautiful homes. You're not going to find a 16 bedroom home on the market. You're going to have to convert it to become that way, right? So there is some work that has to be done up front, whether it is buying an existing business or converting a single family home, or maybe even building a custom home from the ground up. There's some work up front for sure. Numbers, pretty basic. If the national average right now is $4,500 per month per person to live in one of these homes, and let's say you had right in the middle of 6 and 16, 10 residents, that's 45,000 gross coming in every month. Your expenses, including your staff, your vacancies, your cable, food, electric, you know, everything might be 30 a month, and your debt service another 5. One of these homes could be cash flowing 10 grand a month. So that's kind of what we teach people how to do. It's definitely more work up front, but then we're really showing you how to work on your business, not in it. So it doesn't have to be a full-time job. At this point, I spend about one phone call a week with our manager, and then I visit my homes every other month. And really, I want to train people to be that hands-off, that passive, because I'm not born to be a caregiver. I'm just not. And it's not a good place for me to be in that home. I want to use my skill sets, which is running a business.
So let's just say you're a practicing realtor and you want to hang out with the people doing more business than you, because we all know you don't have to recreate the wheel. Guess what? There is a community of highly ambitious, organized, energetic real estate professionals. There are solo agents, teams, brokerages all over the place. They're coming to Follow Up Boss Conference, also known as FUBCon. So maybe you want to take your game to the next level. If you come to Follow Up Boss Conference, you're going to master the 5 biggest levers for building your real estate business over the long haul: systems, marketing, lead conversion, lead retention, and accountability. All 5 are available to you at FUBCon.com. This is November 8th through 10th in sunny Las Vegas. Take a flight out there, write it off on your taxes, get more ideas than you can implement. And if you want to check out Follow Up Boss in the meantime, go to followupboss.com/crazy for a 30-day free trial where you'll be so sucked in, you'll definitely want to come to the conference and hang out with the people who can help you elevate your business. FUBCon.com. Sign up today. So what kind of zoning is required for a property like this? And I know that different municipalities have different zoning laws and all that, but just ish, is this commercial zoning? Is it residential? Is it group home? How is it tagged primarily?
It's still residential, but you are getting a license through the state that's basically a group home license, right? It's just the type of group home is for senior housing, not sober care or developmentally disabled adults or whatever the case. It's still a group home, but it's residential assisted living or senior housing. There's like 22 different names for this across the country.
So how often do you encounter NIMBYism and neighbors that come out and say, we don't want that in our neighborhood, and we've even a quiet area, right? How often does that become an issue?
All the time. Neighbors don't understand it. They don't get it. But then once we're there, right? Well, I will say this. HOAs, angry neighbors, cities and states can't tell you no because of the Federal Fair Housing Act. It's discriminatory against disabled people. If you need assisted living, you're disabled at that point. You need help getting up, walking, bathing, going to the bathroom. They're not moving in for funsies. They're moving in because
they need
this. Yep. So it's discriminatory against disabled. That national association we created can help fight that. But there's always angry neighbors because really, I think it's a lack of education. It's a lack of understanding. once they set foot in the home, it's kind of like that first Uber you took. You're like, I'm not going to download an app and get in a car with a stranger. And then you get in the car and you're like, oh, I think I like this better.
Yeah, and now it's no big deal. Now, oh, just go Uber, grab a Lyft. No big deal.
You'll never catch me in a taxi unless I'm in New York City, right? Like never. They're disgusting now. But that was such a mind shift for us. We really all had to say, am I going to do this? Am I going to do this? And it's weird. And then you set your foot in and you're like, oh, no, it's better.
I'm totally going to do this.
So I think that's what happens a lot of times.
Are your old people driving still, or do you go after the non-driving old people so that parking's not an issue with these residential upfits?
In 10 years in business with three homes, we've only ever had one gentleman who still had his license.
Oh, it was a Lincoln, wasn't it? Was it a Buick? Maybe an Oldsmobile?
It was so cute. Actually, he was like, can I still have my car? And we were like, sure. And he would leave once a week to go meet his friend at like Starbucks and they would just hang out.
Friend?
And it was so cute. And this gentleman was actually adorable because he ran, most of them are obviously aren't working. You know, they're not moving until they're 85, 90. We've had people over 100, right? So most of them are not working. But this gentleman, he ran KFC franchises from his room. And he had a car and he was so cute. And we were like, we'll take you. We love you.
I would take him. I want to go hang out with him and hear his stories. I bet they're great.
Know. So cute.
Okay, so I've gotten a lot of like informational things from you, but of course my show is about the crazy shit in real estate. And so I'm so curious to find out what story came to mind, whether it was when you took over your dad's homes, or I mean, it could even be you buying your personal house. What have you encountered that made you say, I can't, this isn't real?
You know, I would say a lot of people, they're curious about eviction moratorium. What do you do if a senior doesn't pay or a senior's not right for the home, or, you know, how does that work out? Right.
Can you evict from a home like this?
Technically, they're not a tenant. It's not a landlord tenant agreement. So we don't have that issue, right? They're signing a residency agreement that is basically saying I'm caring for your needs, and the home and the room and the board are part of that. So you can, we don't use the word evict, but you can ask people to leave whenever it's not suitable for you anymore, whether they're not paying, they're not following the rules, they're no longer a right fit. Typically, they're leaving because we can no longer care for their needs. Their care needs are too high. They need to go to a nursing facility, right? Doctors,
memory care kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. But when I heard the show of the title of the show, I was like, okay, the main thing that came to my mind was the one and only family or resident we've ever had to ask to leave, because people are always curious about that. I don't share that story very often. But basically, we had a senior. He was adorable, no issue with him. But the family would come over and literally tell the chef in the kitchen, leave. There'd be like 12 of them. They'd come over, kick the chef out, take over the kitchen, blare their music, be, you know, saying profanities and cursing and being super loud, causing a ruckus in the house, cooking all this food, going crazy. And we were like, there's 9 other seniors in this home with your dad. Like, you can't kick out my chef who I'm paying and then cause a scene like this. So we told them, like, hey, it's disrupting the peace. You know, part of the residency agreement, the senior signs it, but the family signs it. So the family's saying, we're going to abide by these rules. And if we don't, you're allowed to say no. So we're like, okay, first warning, you know, like, hey, please don't do that. Like, we know you want to come over and have a little party. It's okay. But, you know, please don't do that again. A couple months go by, exact same thing happens again. And it was just like, man, this is so disrespectful. We literally told you no. So we're like, no, you guys need to like leave the home right now. Like, you can't. They're like cursing, music. Like, it was just like, what is going on?
They didn't just want to cook for all the residents and like make some specialty items. They weren't.
I mean, I think that's what they were telling us they wanted, but it's like, you can do that without blaring music and screaming and, you know, like causing a mess. Like, no. So that's the thing. If someone wants to come over and say, I really want to cook, you know, my meal for my dad. He loves my pierogi. Let's, you know, I want to make him this. Oh my God, I'll let you come over.
I would say no to that. Of course you would say.
Or like cook it at your own house and bring it over. But, you know, like, of course, but just to disrupt the home like that, it was like, no, like you're literally breaking the rules. So that is the only family we ever had to sit down and be like, it's no longer a fit. And it's not because of the senior. It's because you guys, you're not behaving. You're not following the rules. You're causing disruption in the house. We've asked you now twice nicely. We don't trust that you're not going to do it again. Like it's not a fit. And we had to move them on. So
was dad in on it, or was he horrified by his family's behavior?
No, I think it was normal to him.
He raised them this way. So it's his fault, frankly.
There you go. I know we're like, he's fine, but maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
These people.
Maybe you're right. No, it never
occurred to me that you have to run somebody off from a home. I just think about they die out there.
Hello, 98% of them do. Only 2% is like they're going to a nursing home, and then in 10 years in 3 homes, we've had hundreds of seniors in those homes. Never have I had to kick anyone out, only that family. And again, it wasn't the senior, it was the family.
So do you have like a special discount set up with the local funeral home? Do the families expect you to be like the turnkey all-in-one concierge for dad?
No, but occasionally they'll ask for recommendations.
Maybe that's your next investment, because I was learning about aquamation this week. Have you heard of aquamation?
No.
Like instead of cremation, where they burn you to ashes, they can water torture you to ashes too. Like you melt into the water. Yeah, you're going to go down this rabbit hole and you're going to thank me for this later, because apparently it's more eco-friendly and doesn't have as much carbon footprint. But I was so, I didn't know what to make of it. So I'm still processing it, but maybe you should find out and open a franchise wherever you are. So you're thinking about it now. So you're welcome. That's my Friday.
You get turned into water, or the water turns you to ashes?
Water turns you to ashes. Like it melts all of the muscles and skin off. And so it's down to bones, and then it deteriorates. But it's not acid bath. Like the FAQ was all, yeah. Very clear. This is not an acid bath, but I was reading it to my husband, and he's like, why are you reading this to me? I'm like, because this is so interesting. And I sent it to my mom and dad, and they're like, why did you send this to us? I'm like, cause it's interesting. And they thought I was trying to aquamate them early. But anyway, I was thinking this fits in with end of life, because my granddad was in an assisted living center when he passed. And as soon as he passed, you know, we're thinking, all right, we got to do funeral and stuff. And they were like, you got 24 hours to get his stuff out of here. And we're like, we got to do a funeral. They're like, come get your shit. So basically we're over there with a U-Haul pulling stuff out while we're simultaneously trying to plan a funeral. So it was just a weird scenario, but it was a big box home. And I think if it had been one of Isabel's homes, you'd have given us 48 hours.
I'm sure we would have. No, it is such a tough time of life. And on one hand, when your loved one is in an assisted living home, you know that that's what's going to happen next.
It already sucks.
That's the next stage. That's what's happening. You're just trying to make it as peaceful and comfortable and positive as you can in those last years of life and soak up those moments. It's not like a shocker when people pass in the home, because what else is going to happen? Are they going to magically turn 18 again? No, that's the next stage. So it's really interesting to watch that process happen and see how families, you know, surprisingly are not as like shocked, right? It's not like that. Like you think like, oh my God, what happens if someone dies in the home? It's like,
that's what they do.
Exactly. What do you think is going to happen?
We call the coroner and then we call the funeral home, and that's what happens next. But I for one am grateful to learn about what you're doing and how you're humanizing this space, which is definitely a better level of dignity for our elders, and they deserve dignity and respect no matter what stage of life they're in. So Isabel, if somebody wants to learn more about this and take your training and all that, what's the best place for them to go to get information?
A good place to start would be RAL101.com. We've got free webinars, free books, free phone calls, whatever you want and need. And if you want to come to our trainings, we do 3-day trainings in Phoenix, Arizona. And we also have an online course. You can find out more information at RAL101.com.
All right, friends. And all of that is in the show notes for this episode, because I'm fully aware that every one of you is now Googling aquamation. Trust me, enjoy that information. I'm sharing. That's what I'm doing. But reach out to Isabel for any of your needs. And if you know somebody who's looking for a place to invest, I mean, be the interesting person that tells them about something cool, because this is not just a place to make money, but it's a place to make society better. So it's so nice to have you on the show. And thank you for sharing your information and for what you're doing out there. It's good stuff.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, friends, make sure that you hit the button to subscribe and notify. You know to do all that stuff. And so after you do it, I'll see you next time.
Okay, now don't forget to go try Follow Up Boss so that your business can continue to expand in professionalism and then you can meet some more crazy people yourself. I really appreciate Follow Up Boss sponsoring this episode, but mainly I appreciate them for giving y'all double the free trial time with no credit card required. So make sure you go to followupboss.com/crazy and then let me know what you think. I'll see you guys next time. As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or frankly, you just need to one up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown or tweet me at Lee Brown or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you had some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.